it. Bye-bye.
This is your Orioles Radio Network Game Rewind.
Well, back at Oriole Park at Camden Yards on an overcast and a misty Tuesday night. And the Orioles here today, hey, first time I've been able to say this in about 10 days. The Orioles here tonight looking for a second consecutive victory. Yep, they beat the Yankees here last night. And the skipper, Buck Showalter, right after this.
Rocco Botko here with Orioles manager Buck Showalter on tonight's manager's report. Seven-game losing streak ends last night. Buck, is that basically how you'd love to draw them up, where you get that quality start, a couple timely hits, and the back end of the bullpen nails it down?
Yeah, you know, somebody was saying asking yesterday, is it going to be you're going to score 14 runs and 20 hits? No, that's not how it works. You know, and what happened yesterday doesn't mean something's going to happen tonight. We would do for some good things to come our way. We haven't played well defensively, and of course, Dylan was the key to the whole game. But I'd like to see us score some more runs yesterday and make it a little easier. But they didn't cooperate. They've got a really good pitching staff. People keep talking about our schedule and how good a pitching we're seeing. Well, it's the big leagues. It's our division, and it's all over baseball. You know, Houston's really good, and you got to figure out a way to beat those good guys. And we beat them last night by having a pitcher better than their pitcher.
And that's Dylan Bundy, 2 runs over 7 innings. He's gone at least 6 innings in every start this year. He gives up the leadoff home run in the 7th, but then strikes out Chris Carter to end the inning. Does that show you something? Because that's what the good pitchers do. They get that last out in that 7th inning.
Well, he actually struck out that batter that hit the home run, too, but some reason didn't get the call. Dylan doesn't let things snowball because of some mental anguish or becoming fearful. You know, he has a lot of confidence in what he has to do to be successful, and it's all about a consistent delivery and being able to command the baseball.
Adam Jones was in the lineup yesterday, then was scratched. How's he feeling today?
It's a little better each day. You know, he's finishing up his work right now. That's why we're a little late with the lineup, because he's certainly worth waiting on. So the decision is he plays tonight, or we wait another day, or we DL him. So you can only backdate it 3 days, so today is kind of a day we need to make a decision probably.
Is it more ankle than hip, or both, or the other way around?
I actually think the ankle was causing some of the hip issue. I'm not a doctor, but Adam thinks that a little bit, and he obviously knows his body more than anybody, but he's a lot better than he was, and he's very close.
Rocco Botko back with Orioles manager Buck Showalter on tonight's manager's report. Chris Tillman on the mound tonight, making his 5th start. What are you seeing from him as he makes the progression? I guess, do you take into account with everything he's done? Obviously, he's shut down in spring training. He's, this could basically be an April for him instead of a late May.
Well, he's where he should be. You know, physically, he feels good. He's some little nagging things that all people have, but I'd like to see him take a step forward tonight, progress-wise. It would do a lot for, I think, the mentality of our club, knowing that, one of our best starters is getting back in rhythm and getting headed in the right direction. He's very close, and he's given us a chance to win more times than not. I'd love to see him command the fastball and keep the pitch count down and be able to get a little deeper in the game.
Luis Severino on the mound tonight for the Yankees. You guys have seen him already this year. What should we know about him? What makes him a challenge?
Well, he's a plus-plus arm, plus-plus fastball, but what people will miss about him, just like all these pitchers, it seems like that you're seeing now, he's going to throw over 50% sliders to right-handed hitters. It's just what they do with that type of fastball. It also tells you how good a slider is. It's a real hard slider, and you're going to have to be on top of your game. He's a good one.
Jonathan Scope had the big two-run double yesterday. He's got back-to-back multi-RBI games for the first time this season. He's up to .275 and a .324 on base percentage. Is he progressing in the direction you want to see as a hitter? Is that exciting to see? Because the ceiling's pretty high with him.
Yeah, John is a real professional at bat. John has been very consistent for us this year, with the exception of some of his struggles against left-handed pitching. That's why it was so good to see him get a big hit there. But John, you can make a case for him being one of our most consistent players this year.
I have a lot of fans asking me about Cedric Mullins down in extended spring training. Is he pretty close now to coming back to Bowie?
I think it's like Friday, somewhere around Friday. They want him to play back-to-back 9-inning games. He had a pretty substantial hamstring tear there. It's been over, I think, 4 weeks. And I think our organization really wanted to get it right the first time, not have it nag with him. So, he's been playing now for a little less than a week. And if he can get through that back-to-back time, which we expect him to, then he'll rejoin the Bowie Club. I tell you, Hunter Harvey had a great work day. I got a call from Brian Graham telling me how good it went and how upbeat he was about how the ball came out of his hand. That was encouraging.
Thank you, Bucks. Take it back upstairs to Joe Angel.
Kevin Gausman and Jim Hunter, they will visit when we continue with the warm-up show right after this.
Well, today and tomorrow here at Camden Yards, it is photo shoot day for the annual Barks calendar to help out the Barks Association. Kevin Gausman is the spokesperson for this year's event. Kevin Gausman after this on the Orioles Radio Network.
Orioles and Yankees, middle game of three. Birds looking for back-to-back wins and a big day at the ballpark. And it was a loud day at the ballpark. A lot of barking going on because today was the photo shoot for the Orioles annual calendar for Barks to benefit pet adoption services. And Kevin Gausman is the spokesman for that this year. Now, you posed with a couple of pets up for adoption. And I guess the hope is that the awareness, these pets will soon find homes.
Yeah, you know, I think we do this obviously every year, and I don't know how many times over the last couple of years, you know, it's encouraged someone to go to a shelter, or they've seen even a dog on the calendar and called and adopted that dog. And so, you know, it's just about giving those, you know, kind of unappreciated pets a home again. You know, a lot of them were neglected and kind of need that family in their life. And so, you know, that's one thing that we kind of look to support. And it's also a lot of fun for us, you know, to get to kind of hang out with some kittens and puppies and dogs. And, you know, before we kind of get into the baseball activity of the day. So it's a lot of fun for us.
You know, it's a wonderful endeavor that the players on the Orioles and the organization get involved with. Bonnie and I have two rescue dogs at home, and they bring nothing but love to our family. We save them from whatever they were going through, and now they are actually helping our life because of the love. And all these pets that you're talking about, no fault of their own, they just need somebody to love them so they can give that love back.
Yeah, exactly. You know, there's a lot of dogs who have been mistreated out there, kittens also, and I mean, all sorts of animals, honestly. And, you know, but Barks is really, we've kind of really jumped in with them the last couple of years, and they've, you know, really helped to continue to raise awareness. And you know, even I think we help because, you know, we do that signing at Barks every year also. So, you know, I think it's that child that comes to maybe get, you know, JJ Hardy's autograph, and then you know, her dad takes her through the shelter and she kind of falls in love with the dog, and you know, that's, and they kind of become a family. And so that's one thing that I really support, and it's, and like I said, it's a lot of fun for us. So it's a great day here, and you know, like I said, it's just about giving those undervalued and underappreciated animals, you know, a second chance with a family that really wants them.
Now, this year, as the spokesman for the club, you're taking this a step further. Now, tell me about the reading initiative for the kids that will be an extension of what you're doing with the calendars to bring awareness.
Yeah, so it's a program that Barks is starting this year, and it's to help kids read to animals, and you know, to you know, a lot of these animals, like I said, have maybe been treated wrongly by humans in the past, and so you know, some of them have some anger problems and some things that Barks helped works to help them through. And I think this is just another great program that you get these kids who, you know, I was a child that I didn't like reading in front of the classroom. You know, I never raised my hand in class. You know, I spoke really loud, so I was self-conscious about that. Whatever it is for a child, whether they are a little bit behind in reading compared to their peers, or they just don't want to. But you know, this is a great program where they get to come in, and what kid doesn't love to hang out with kittens and puppies, and then, you know, to add an education element to it. It's a great program, and you know, I know my wife Taylor, she's a former teacher, so she kind of when I first brought this to her, she was really excited about it, and so it's something we're definitely looking forward to.
Okay, a couple of baseball questions. Your start and your last start was really, really good, and it's something to build on. I know it's frustrated you didn't get the win, just one of those things. But as far as the starting rotation, do you see signs of the group beginning to come together? I mean, Dylan was fabulous yesterday coming off your start in Houston. There are signs. It's just a matter of the consistency getting one time through the rotation. Are you beginning to see that?
Yeah, you know, I think that's always the key, is to be consistent, especially as a starting rotation, as a core. And so, you know, we're always trying to kind of one-up that guy who pitched well the night before. And, you know, sometimes it doesn't work out that way. But I feel like when we really get going, ever since I've always been here, when we get going, we kind of feed off of each other. And, you know, that's one thing, even when we had Chin here, when we had Miguel here, you know, multiple guys who aren't here anymore, but that was one thing. When we were all going, we were all going. And so, you know, it's a good sign. Obviously, Bundy is off to a great start and just throwing the crap out of the ball. And so, you know, we always look to kind of build off of what he's doing. And, you know, this is a perfect example. First game of the series, he goes out there and pitches well. And then we got Tillman going tonight and then me tomorrow night. So, you know, this is – obviously, some big games, too, in division. So, always looking to kind of hit the ground running against these teams.
Well, congratulations on being the spokesperson for Barks. As you know, it's dear to my heart as well. And here's hoping that a lot of the puppies and kittens finds homes. And then we can say, you know what, Kevin Gausman alerted us to this. And here we go. So, thanks very much and appreciate the visit.
Yeah, no problem.
So, Kevin Gausman and his wife, Taylor, on Friday will join members of the Orioles on-deck employee volunteer program and more than a dozen students from the Webster Kendrick Boys and Girls Club to help launch the Tales for Tales program from 1 o'clock to 2 o'clock at Barks. That's located at 301 Stockholm Street. So the children will read to the puppies and they'll read to the kittens. And as Kevin explained, the hope is it brings more awareness to the fact that there are pets that want homes and need homes, and they are available at Barks. It is a wonderful, wonderful organization and something that the Orioles get behind. And don't forget, when that pet calendar comes out, you can purchase that calendar and help the cause. Stay tuned now for Orioles baseball.
All right, hello again, baseball fans. Joe Angel, Jim Hunter back at Camden Yards. Not a good night. The Orioles are tonight not real competitive. You don't get good starting pitching, it's very tough to compete. And that was the case here tonight. And, Jim, we got a real good indication very early in this game when Brett Gardner came up, the leadoff hitter for the Yankees. We got a very early indication that for Tillman and the Orioles, it was not going to be a good night.
Yeah, Gardner with that leadoff home run to right field. He hit it out into the bleachers to the left of the SK sign, and it came out a misplaced fastball. And that's really been a struggle for Chris Tillman, Joe, since coming back from the DL. When he returned on May the 7th, his command is very inconsistent. He can't put the fastball where he wants to, and he's leaving it too many times, often than not, in the happy zone for the hitters. And the Yankees were on their way. One batter into the game, they had the lead, and they would go on to chase Tillman after just 2 2/3. And, you know, no one knows for sure if Tillman is healthy. He may not be in pain, but as you indicated, he certainly is not pitching like he has in the past, a pitcher who came into this game 24 games above 500 in his career. You don't have that kind of success unless you're on your game more times than not. But right now he is a big, big mystery. And with the starting rotation overall being inconsistent, what they need out of him is consistency, and they're not getting it.
Well, the Orioles had a big win last night in the first game of the three-game series. But tonight they just could not follow it up. And as we talked about it, Jim, you know, momentum in baseball, that's your next day starting pitcher. And we talked about Tillman. Tonight, 2 2/3 innings, 5 runs, 7 hits, couple of walks. He had 1 strikeout. Now, the Yankees, right now, a very dangerous team. Brett Gardner, what's gotten into Brett Gardner? He went in April, his first 18 games, he never drove in a run. And then later, hit a couple of home runs in late April. And then all of a sudden, in the month of May, Brett Gardner has now hit 9 home runs this month alone.
Yeah, he got it going in that series the final 3 days of April against the Orioles. He hit the couple of home runs. That's a good point. I'd forgotten about that. But he actually got going against the Orioles.
I think that was against Ubaldo.
Yeah, now that's right, Ubaldo Jimenez. So yeah. 9 home runs now and 20 RBIs in the month of May. And ironic that Tillman, who was knocked out in the third inning here tonight, he went 4 starts since coming back without allowing a home run. And then in this game tonight, he allows 3 home runs. He gets chased 59 pitches to get through 2 2/3 innings. And the rotation, Joe, we talked about it earlier. Bundy picked up a win yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
That was the first win by a starter since May the 8th. They had gone 17 consecutive starts without getting a win from a starter. So now in their last 19 starts, including the 2 games in this series, there is only 1 win from a starter, and that was from Bundy yesterday.
Because now the good news there is that Kevin Gausman, he pitches tomorrow night, Kevin Gausman is beginning to look like he is coming on.
Yeah, he pitched really well in Houston, even though he had nothing to show for it. I mean, he had the tough 2-0 loss in that game. And the thing about Kevin is that he seems to be finding and what he needs to do. And again, we talk about this every night. It's all about the command. But certainly with a pitcher like Kevin Gausman, because if he can place that fastball, his secondary pitches are really good. He can get a lot of chases and a lot of swings and misses. But it all relies on the fastball, because Kevin has also had that problem this year, Joe, missing in the happy zone, and that's why he's allowed so many runs.
Well, that's your Brett Gardner, two home runs here for the Yankees tonight. How about Matt Holliday? He homered twice. How about Holliday after he hit the second home run tonight in the third inning? At that point, against the Orioles, he had gone 11 for 26 with five home runs against Oriole pitching.
Yeah, and he came in somewhat of a slump. He was 8 for his last 38, and then he faces Tillman twice, and it's two home runs. So I guess once you get that that one home run, you feel confident. And then he got another mistake, and he hit it out. So two home runs to left field. Holliday was brought in on a one-year contract to give some veteran stability to that lineup, and he certainly is doing that, two home runs tonight. Yankees pound out 14 hits and hit four home runs, and they are really on a tear with the long ball, as they now have 76 home runs on the year.
Meanwhile, the Orioles' offense here tonight consisted of a bunch of infield singles. There was an infield single, drove in a run. The other two runs they scored were unearned, thanks to a Yankee error. So, hey, Severino's been a pretty good pitcher for the Yankees. He's got some pretty good stuff.
Yeah, and he had he brought that scoreless streak in, 12 consecutive scoreless innings, and then didn't allow a run until two outs in the sixth. So he got it up to 17 and two-thirds consecutive scoreless before allowing a run. And he did a real, real nice job, and you could see why he is on his game. And he lowers what was the fifth-best road ERA in the American League. He came at 2.25 on the road, and that's going to go down after this effort tonight.
All right, so he wins it to run his record to 4-2. Tillman takes a loss. He is now 1-2. Same two teams again tomorrow night. Postgame show is brought to you by Browns Honda City. Buy happy with Browns. And right away, Gardner came up against Tillman first inning, and it didn't take long. And now the 2-0 pitch. Gardner, fly ball, right field, deep. Smith is backing up, and that ball is gone. Brett Gardner, a leadoff home run. It landed maybe 14 rows in the seats in right center, to the left of the SK sign, and Gardner hit the dog out of it to give the Yankees a 1-0 lead. Gardner at that point his 10th home run. Then after Sanchez flied out, that's when Holliday came up to hit for the first time. Tillman's pitch, fly ball, left field, backing up Mancini, and that ball is gone. And that's about 14 rows back. Above the Budweiser sign in the gap in left center. So the Yankees, a couple of solos in the first inning for a 2-0 lead. At that point, Holliday, his 10th home run. In the second inning, a double by Gregorius, and then Hicks came up to hit. And now Tillman is ready. Right-hander will check second base. Here's the 1-1 delivery. Hicks, ground ball up the middle. That's a base hit. Here's Gregorius around third, being waved in. Up with the ball is Rickard, and he gets it back into second base. So the run scores. It is now 3-0 New York. Yeah. Then came the third, and again, Holliday came up to hit.
Tillman Deal swinging a high fly ball deep left field. That ball's going to go down the line and out, and Holliday has a two-home run game. And the Yankees now the 4-0 lead. Three solo home runs in the first two innings plus one batter off Chris Tillman.
So there you go. Yankees with two runs and three hits in that third. And then came the fourth inning, and again, Gardner came up to hit.
And the pitch is ripped to deep right field. Back that ball goes, and that ball is gone. It's onto the flag court. And Brett Gardner has a two-home run night, and the Orioles have a four-home run night. And the New York lead is now 6-0.
And, of course, these days it wouldn't be a Yankee game unless the judge, came calling.
See if Girardi sends the runners here on 3-2 with one down. They do not go, and the pitch is swung on and ripped to right center field. On the run is Seth Smith. It is over his head, and it's against the wall. Rounding third, heading for the plate is Sanchez. Being sent behind him is Castro. There will be no throw to the plate. It is a two-run double by Aaron Judge, and the Yankee lead is now 8-0.
Meanwhile, Severino had a shutout going all the way until the bottom of the sixth inning, when Scope led off with an infield single. And then one out, that's when Trumbo got a base on balls. With two outs, Castillo, an infield single. Bases loaded for Trey Mancini.
And the pitch swinging a slow roller past the mound. Gregorius charges. He gloves, throws off balance low, and safe at first base is Mancini. Scope scores, and the Orioles get on the board. Orioles playing some little ball here. That is the third infield hit this inning. Mancini is 3-for-3, picks up his 24th RBI, and it's an 8-to-1 game.
And there you go. That was the Oriole run. Three infield singles and a base on balls. And that inning, with the bases loaded, ended disappointingly.
And the pitch to him, swing and a miss. He got it. Looked like a slider, and Rickard swings over it. So strikeout number 8. And the Orioles, after all that, settle for just one run. And for a second time in this game, they strand the bases loaded.
Well, the Yankees go on to win this thing by a score of 8-3. Manny Machado, tough night for him as he continues to scuffle. He struck out looking in the first. He struck out swinging in the third. He struck out swinging in the fifth. In the sixth, I should say. And then he came up again in the seventh inning.
2-2 the count on Machado. Trumbo waits on deck. And the pitch, swing and a miss. He got him. And the struggles continue for Manny Machado. He is 0-for-4 tonight and has struck out all four times.
And he would finish 0-for-5 after a fly ball out his fifth at bat. So it's only the second time in Manny's career in which he has struck out four times in one game. The other one came in a game against the Angels back in July of 2014. So tough night for Manny Machado, tough night for the Orioles. Yankees win this thing by a score of 8-3. And Jim Hunter will continue our postgame activities right after this.
We'll head downstairs now. Postgame comments from Buck Showalter.
What's up?
Tillman hadn't given up a home run before tonight, and then they just jumped him. Was it just poor location, or what were you saying?
Chris wasn't very crisp, and just didn't pitch well. And, you know, coupled on the fact that, good hitting club. Wasn't very good. It goes without saying. Did pitch the last five innings pretty well, but we had to use a lot of people to do it. Kind of creates a real challenge for your offense early on. Severino's a good pitcher. He's got good stuff. We knew that.
Buck, how much does this not erase what happened yesterday, but really kind of put you behind the eight ball again, I guess, a little bit when it comes to pitching when you have a short start like this?
Yeah, it's been that case, not just for us, but that's why we've had to make a lot of the moves we've had to, especially with Zach being out. But like I said many times, everybody's got some issues with the club, but starting pitching when you have some short outings, a couple of them in a even 4 and 5 innings, it puts a lot of pressure on some other areas and makes you do a lot of things you'd rather not do to keep some continuity. I've said many times that a lot of things that go on with a club overseas and are dictated by how consistent your starting pitching can be. We said that all along. Every spring, all clubs say that.
How much do you look at it and say, okay, it just wasn't a good night by Chris, or how much do you look at arm strength and wonder,
Both. You do that all the time. That's just human nature, because we're in the business of not stating the obvious, of trying to figure out why. I'm not big on talking about identifying problems. I think they're pretty obvious to everybody, including here and fans. And, we see the same things with some of our guys. So we got to figure out why.
You've watched Chris for a long time. And even, years ago, when he would have starts where he's kind of searching for his fastball at first, second inning, you stay with him and you get the good return that you talk about all the time. What's different on a day like today when you have the bullpen up in the third?
Like today, he just never seemed to take it to another level and find his way. A lot of times I can see him the first inning or two and he's a pitcher away, and then he kind of gets in step like a lot of pitchers, not just him. Today it was pretty obvious to me that he wasn't going to be able to find that step. He was really struggling to find tempo and a consistent release point. And, you look back through where he was trying to throw the ball with what pitches. There weren't many pitches executed on his part. He knows that.
We've talked so much about Chris Davis's struggles, and now Manny seems to be in a bit of a slump. Do you see anything there?
Yeah, we talk about it every day. Everybody's working as hard as you can. The same person that we think's one of the best players in the game, and I think it's just a reminder to all of us how hard this is to do and how everybody goes through those periods. I can name a lot of people, but it doesn't make it any more palatable or easy to take for Manny. Believe me, he's got a lot of pride, and he and Chris and all, but everybody's going to have that where we're going to be in here talking about it, unfortunately. And, you know, what do you do? I know what he's not doing. He's not giving in. It's just, you know, I talk to him every day and a lot of other people. Sometimes he knows. It's frustrating for him. If you think it's frustrating for somebody else, you know, triple it, because it's really, and sometimes you can, you know, want it too much, and it's a long process. It just doesn't happen with one swing or one, you know, and they pitch real well. You couple that, he's the best pitchers in the world. I mean, they're going to step on your neck when they think you got you down, because they know that you have and will do some damage again.
Kind of feeding off of that, I mean, it looked like with Manny that he started to kind of find a little bit in Houston. You know, he started to drive the ball a little bit those first couple of games, but you know, then he kind of goes into a little bit of rut. Seems like it's happened a few times where it looks like he's about to kind of get out of it.
Yeah.
I mean, what's stopping that next, you know, step, I guess?
Well, that's a lot like Dan's question. You know, we got to figure that out. He does, we do. You know, because, you know, he's – but it's not just him. You know, I know it's a topic because of the level he spoiled us with, and it should be. But he, it's not that easy just to say – you know, okay, there's a single to right, now everything's fine. There's a blue pit, everything's fine. It's going to be a long, it's not a short process. You know, this is not a quick fix business. It's not, you know, a quick fix somewhere else in the batting order, somewhere where he's hitting left hand. I mean, all those things are very short term, but it's a long term thing that you got to figure your way through. And everybody faces it, and whether you're 24 or 34, you know, you go through it.
Back to Tillman for a second. He never says a discouraging word to us. He always says he feels great. He always says he's fine. He said it the day before you shut him back down. You know, I mean, it's just the way he is. But do you, behind the scenes, are you confident that you know exactly where he is physically?
Well, I think more than y'all or the rest of us, because I'm privy to some things that, you know, it's just not going to talk to the world about. You know, there's not a guy in there that doesn't have something that's a physical challenge. You know, whether it's keeping him from pitching as well as he can, some guys have good seasons and have those type of things. We're aware of some of the challenges that everybody in there that has X number of innings and an arm and a shoulder and an elbow. But, Chris has spent some pretty good games for us this year. We know in the past. But answer the short question, yeah, I feel pretty good about what he's talking about, you know, what he's telling us and everything. But there's, you know, you it's kind of like you Band-Aid or whatever, you fix one thing and then there's another one that it's always going to be there with every player. You know, it might be, you know, something different than just a physical thing. But, you know, I haven't, you know, Chris is a good communicator, and he understands how important it is that the job that he's being asked to do done. He's not be done, and he's not going to put the team in harm's way if he doesn't feel like he can do it, but we'll continue to talk to him about it. He's not one of those guys that's going to reach for some excuse, like you said, when things aren't going well and, oh, there's the reason. No, he's a good guy about looking in the mirror. It's a pretty good club over there, and if you're not carrying good stuff and good command, you're going to have nights like tonight.
One different note, Asher, could you tell us what went behind the decision?
Just feel like he needed to go out there again. I tell you one thing that may change now, unless – you know, I'm hoping to talk to Dan here shortly, whether if we have to make a pitching move tomorrow or if maybe with a couple days off, you keep in mind how many pitches Ubaldo threw compared to Asher, about who would be more able to give us some relief innings with 2 days off. Obviously not Ubaldo. So just kind of see what we're going to do. That's the only thing that might affect it. But just felt like he served another chance.
Adam, was it anything to do with the weather?
Y'all were told, right? Yeah, it was, you know, you got looking at it. The forecast we got was actually another thing we weren't real good at tonight. Was supposed to be misty and pick up rain all through the game. And the field was pretty sloppy during BP. In fact, I was a little surprised we took BP in that. Y'all were down there and didn't think it was going to get any better. I didn't like the risk factor in it. It was my decision. Adam was ready to go. Okay, thank you.
The postgame comments of Buck Showalter. Yankees win at 8-3.